Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
No, my phone is totally messing up. Like, all right, can you remember that picture message I sent you a while back saying this is what I'm getting every time y'all text?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's starting to happen again. And now I can't even, like, download it. So, like, I mean, my phone is 2 years old, so it's time for a new one, and it's really hot right now too. It's running hot.
Perhaps you need an iPhone.
Yeah. No. I need that S20.
Did you turn it off and turn it back on?
Yep.
You know they have that S20. They have the new iPhone 12s out.
It's running hot. Yep. It's running hot. Right. Keep an eye on it. It might burst into flames tonight. Just saying.
Those Androids are known to do that.
Right.
Not all Android do. It was just that one. Now, come on, man. Come on now.
Come on. All right.
You're listening to the What's Up Falcons podcast with Rock, Hoop, Q, Aries Falcon. And keeping it sexy, LG.
What's up, what's up, what's up, and welcome to the What's Up Falcons podcast. My name is Rock, and I'm joined with my boy Q in the house. What's going on, Q?
I felt like every Sunday was a Groundhog's Day, but this Sunday I woke up to something different.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, man. Sweet taste of victory. And I'm also joined from all the way over on the West Coast with the notorious vid maker, Mr. Aries Falcon. What's going on, Aries?
Yeah. Hey, man, I was popping bottles and everything like we won a championship, man. I'm telling you, that was
Super Bowl all over, huh?
Hey, I had a good week. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
the
man.
Lakers win the championship. Dodgers going to the World Series.
Oh, God. You got to blame that crap. A
lot to celebrate in LA.
I'm sorry. Is that too soon?
Yeah, we saw all your little gifts. And
they won game one. They won game one. I'll give you that. Hey, but I'll root for anybody that beats the Braves, though. When the Braves lost to the Giants back in the day, a few years back, I rooted for the Giants, so I'll root for the Dodgers, man.
Well, you know what happened, right? Somebody said, I don't know, Quinn was doing something, and he put a Braves hat on before the end of the game.
Oh, no.
And you know that he schlep rocked down when it comes to choking, so people are blaming Quinn. I don't know.
That's cold.
Yeah, that's cold.
You were cold as ice.
The Braves were a young team, and they weren't even expected to go that far. But when they had them down 3-1, I was like, we're going to do it. But
I know. How can you not win one damn game out of three? Just one. That's all we needed. Just one.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know.
Man, this curse lives, or whatever you want to call it, lives on in this city, man. Ugh, choked city. But, all right, we're not talking about the Braves and the World Series with the Dodgers. But we're talking about our first victory, man. Our football team, the Falcons, man. We finally won a damn game, man. We beat the Vikings. It feels good, man. Like peaches and herb, you know. It feels so good.
And it feels so good. Doing someone that you used.
And we beat the
silly.
40-23. So that offense, man, was we're getting all that, but man, where was all this? Is all I gotta say. But,
hey, like I said, man, they've been doing that. It's just the defense hadn't been able to hold the other side, and this time, I mean, they almost let it slip, but they were able to hold them, keep that 3-score lead, and close out the game. So I was excited about that.
Indeed, man. Indeed, I was. Yeah, I was too. I was. I gotta admit, I was nervous, especially at halftime, because I'm like, we know what happens if you celebrate too soon or no lead is safe, man. But as it went on, I felt a little more comfortable. But all right, we want to thank everybody for checking us out. Don't forget, you can check us out at Twitter at What's Up Falcons, and you can also send us a text, man, if you want to just send us a message or whatever at 770-268-0555. And don't forget to check us out exclusively at Armchair All American. All right, fellas, so we're here. We're gonna go ahead and jump into our good, bad, and ugly of the Vikings game. So it should be a lot of good.
My good was picking up that first win of the season. I guess we're what are we, 1-5?
Yeah.
But, you know, we got two teams ahead of us with 3 wins, and then the Bucks leading the division with 4 wins. So everything is still there. Everything is still there. And I think man, you beat Detroit this weekend, you get that much closer. So I'm optimistic.
All right. Cool. What about you, Aries?
My good. I'm gonna have to put it on some of the defense. I ain't gonna say the whole defense. I saw a couple of mishaps, but yeah, that defense played kind of lights out, man. They you know, at the end they had trash points, so you know, I'm trying to make the score look better than what it was. But yeah,
right.
I'm gonna have to go with the defense.
All right, that's a good. I can't be mad at that. They did step it up. I definitely admit that it looked better than they have been. Well, my good, man, I'll get my good to. I'm not going to give it to the obvious Matt Ryan or anything. I'm going to give it to AJ Terrell, man, for having his first NFL interception and really coming along. I feel much better about him being our first pick, man. He's hustling out there. He's even doing some really good. Defensive plays, and he's really stepping his game up. He hustles a whole lot, so I gotta take my hat off to AJ Terrell, our rookie, who's been really improving each game, I think. All right.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I'm gonna agree with that.
But all right, man. All right. We know there's more good. You know, everyone know Matt and the offense and all that, but let's just go ahead and get to the bad, man. Aries, any bad you saw in this game?
Let me think about it. Isaiah Oliver getting beat once again.
Right.
Yeah, it's a maze on how this guy still has a starting job. So, right. I guess they can't find nobody to play the slot.
Right.
Right now, but yeah, this guy. I'm sorry, but. To hit him with the word bust, I think exactly what he is. Because I mean, you got AJ Terrell, who's a rookie and who's shown more promise and more upside than Isaiah Oliver, who's been there for what, 2 years now.
Yep, exactly.
So,
no, I agree, man. Because I even tweeted out during the game. I'm like, Oliver better not blow this game for us, man. He started getting real sloppy in the end. But I'm with you, man. But a lot of people I've heard are like saying that he had a decent game. But I'm like, no.
He had an okay game. He didn't mess up as much as he did in the previous, you know what I'm saying, five games.
Right.
But it was a little better. It was a little better. He shown some of that last week against the Panthers. We win that, you know what I'm saying, that win that game. So
right. I hear you. Q, what bad did you see?
Obviously, Oliver. I mean, I don't want to piggyback, but I guess I'm piggybacking. But yeah, I mean, Oliver, you know, it worries me going into next week because Matthew Stafford, I think, is going to, you know, stretch the field. We got DeAndre Swift. I know anybody that watches Georgia football knows what he can do, and he had a monster game last week, 2 touchdowns and like 116 or 120 yards rushing, something like that. So,
right.
I'm just worried about the defense.
Yeah,
I'm worried about the defense. wasn't all that impressed by them, but they did what they had to do to get by a bad Minnesota team, and I think that Minnesota team is worse than us. So, That being said,
I will say this though, in our defense, man, even though it was a semi bad Minnesota team, they have owned us. We haven't beat them since was it 2011 or 14 or something. It's been a while since we
been a while.
Yeah. And you know, so you know, good or bad, they still had our number for a long time, and for us to go and beat them at the way that we did, and make Cousins look like an amateur, I thought was pretty impressive. So I'm gonna give the Falcons all the credit. I don't care if the Vikings are going through a rough patch, but that's just me. All right, well, my bad, man, is, all right, this is not a major bad, but I felt this while I was watching the game, and Logan from Rise Up Rundown kind of mentioned it too. So I'm like, well, shit, if he's mentioning it, I'm going to mention it too. But I love Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to be a great predecessor for Julio. But his ass needs to stop acting cute and try to be fancy and fake folks out, because he's starting to cost us, you know, a first down doing that shit. And also, he's going to mess around and cause himself a major injury. I mean, just get the ball, dude, and run. Don't try to juke people and be all cute, man. Just fucking run. But I mean, I'm sure other people don't feel that way, but I felt that way, and Logan mentioned it, so I thought I would throw that out there as my bad. But I still love him. All right.
Well, Ridley's Ridley, but you know, everybody tries to get those extra yards, but sometimes you just got to go down.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying with his footwork? He tries to be all fancy instead, tries to be cute with it.
No, I wouldn't say trying to be cute. He's just trying to get more yards. I mean, you know. God forbid he breaks a tackle and runs for 25 more extra yards. You know what I mean? So that's just what it is. He's just trying to get the most out of what he's given. But I mean, he's got to wheel it in and know when to get right down, and even some when to go for more yards. So
right. No, I agree. I just, yeah. But all right, man. Let's just move on to the ugly, man. Q, did you have an ugly?
Not really at all. Okay. They gave up some garbage points, but I mean, those were garbage points, but no ugly.
All right. What about you, Aries?
Yeah, I'm the same way. The garbage points was, it should have been like 40 to 16 or 40 to 12 or something like that. But those garbage points at the end, just, it was all right.
All right. That's cool. Well, my ugly was probably, I think, Q's bad or whatever, but my ugly was the secondary because, you know, even, you know, they're still making me nervous and allowing Justin Jefferson to just run havoc like he did and have, you know, those 9 receptions and 2 touchdowns, which kind of made me a little nervous at the end of the, past halftime in the third and the fourth quarter. I was like, they still need to tighten that up. We still need a lot of work on that secondary. So I'll give the secondary my ugly.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. They, you know, they're getting there, but yeah. And Oliver definitely needs to go. But, all right, fellas. All right. Interesting. So, Q, did Hoop send you a injury report?
The injury report.
I do have an injury report. We'll start with Russell Gage. He actually came back to full participation at practice from a shoulder injury, so he's looking good. And there were some guys limited this week. So far this week, Brandon Powell, Calvin Ridley, Kendall Sheffield, Jalen Hawkins, and Dante Fowler were all limited at practice. I know Julio didn't even practice today. And Tack didn't practice.
What's new?
But, you know, it's Julio still dealing with the hamstring. Tack is a groin. Safety Jalen Hawkins is a concussion. Dante Fowler is an ankle. Kendall Sheffield, it's the foot. Calvin Ridley, he's got an elbow thing going on. And Brandon Powell's dealing with an elbow. And Russell Gage is dealing with the shoulder.
So what happened with Ridley? Do you know what this injury was?
I mean, other than his elbow's hurting him, and that's the reason he's not practicing. That's about all I know.
Okay. I want to make sure it wasn't an ankle or anything like that from all that cute dancing he was doing out there.
Dancing broke ankles.
Yeah. But, all right, man. Thanks for that injury report, Q.
The only thing really to worry about, I think, is Julio and Tech. I think Calvin will be ready to go either way.
Right.
And probably Dante Fowler, but Julio and Tech, I mean, what did Julio missed, like, what, two games? Came back for one?
Right.
And now he's back on the, now he's not practicing this week, so that's not a good sign.
He'll be there. I'm not worried about Julio. I'm not worried about Julio at all, but all right, man, cool. All right, we'll move on, and you're listening to the What's Up Falcons podcast. All right, fellas, well, you know, this is our first game post-Quinn, you know. He's out of here with Thomas as well, and Morris stepped up to the plate and had a pretty good showing for his first tryout as an audition, if you want to say, as our new head coach, hopefully. But we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's the start of a, you know, a new era without Quinn. And so far, I'm liking what I saw. And I know the last couple episodes I've been teasing bringing JR in from Pound for Pound because he has been really, I've been watching their shows, man. And he's been really breaking some stuff down about Quinn. And I think it was after the Green Bay game that he kind of broke down some really interesting facts about Quinn that I didn't really look at, you know, as it was happening. But if you look back at the timeline, he had a pretty good descriptive timeline of it. And I thought that was so awesome. So I wanted him to be on our show to kind of talk about it with us. And we'll talk a little bit more about what his thoughts on so far of this post-Quinn era beginning. So, JR, are you here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on, gentlemen?
All right. What's happening, man?
Hey, JR, what's going on?
We have...
What up, JR?
How y'all been living?
Safe, hopefully. Safe. Trying to stay safe.
Yeah. Man, that's all we can do right now. You know, trying to stay safe, trying to stay, you know, happy with your head above water.
Indeed, man, indeed. And it's been a while since we had your own, JR, you and Toby. And I know Toby's not doing the pound for pound anymore, but I know he still listens and stuff, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's... You know, he felt like he had a different calling, and you know, for any of your listeners that are also our listeners, I would, you know, encourage anybody to go look up the thing that he's doing now. It's called the Toby D Show on YouTube.
Okay.
And you know, he really gets into, you know, his faith with like with sports,
right,
and the examples of that, and you know, it's super interesting. And so I would encourage anybody to go, you know, check it out and support him in that.
Oh, that's cool, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Very good for him. I didn't know that. I saw the little video he put on his last show on Pound for Pound, but I never saw anything more. So that's good to know, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, you know, he still has a passion for, you know, doing like sports related stuff, but you know, tying it to you know, his strong faith,
right,
was an avenue that he had been, you know, trying to search out, and I think he found a good way to do it. And so,
cool.
You know, I would like for anybody to who's interested in that to go support him for sure.
Definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, JR, man, yeah, I've been wanting you to come on this show, man, and talk about, you know, your little Quinn timeline analogy you did a few show episodes ago. I thought it was pretty cool.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, it was like, okay, it was after the what I dubbed the Monday Night Meltdown in Green Bay, right?
Right.
Wait. Can I ask a question real quick,
sir,
before we get started?
Yeah.
Can this be considered, since it's almost Halloween and everything, can this be considered a conspiracy theory or
hey,
just
well, legit? Hey. I can give you conspiracy theories as well. I have that too. Like in regards to, you know, the Raheem Morris, you know, I got into it a little bit on our show, but it didn't gain much traction. So I'm all about spitting the conspiracy theories. So if y'all want some of that, I'll give you some of that too.
Hey man, let's have fun. Let's roll the dice on everything tonight.
Yeah,
roll,
man.
The dice.
But as far as like, yeah, but as far as what I got to thinking about, as far as Dan Quinn is concerned, especially, you know, in the role of a head coach, you know, I got to look at it. All these coaches, you know, head coaches, they get their jobs based off of how their units do that they're coordinating, right?
Right.
Whether it's offensive, defensive, or special teams, in the case of Harbaugh up in Baltimore. It all is based off of, you know, how does your unit perform?
Right.
And this is what we're expecting when we bring you to our team, right?
Right.
Whether it be, you know, defensive or whatever. In Quinn's case, it was obviously defensive. And so you look at what he was doing up in Seattle with the heralded Legion of Boom, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You had, it was obviously anchored by Earl Thomas, right?
Right.
And but, you know, you had your KJ Wrights and Richard Shermans and Chancellors and all those guys. And you look at that unit and go, man, that unit performed well. Then you look at it and go, Quinn was the one calling plays,
right?
Right.
Right.
So what happened? What happened when he came down here? And it really got me thinking. Quinn was running Pete Carroll's system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system that Pete Carroll had been developing over years. Like, I have read many articles of Pete Carroll talking about the system that he was running up there in Seattle.
He's been running that system since he was back at SC.
Exactly. He was developing it before SC. He was developing it when he was, I think it was the Jets coach. It's either the Jets or the Giants, somewhere up in that. My memory's blanking on me, so you have to apologize on that. But he's been developing this system for pretty much his entire career, right?
Right, right.
So you have Quinn coming in, running his system. And, like, anytime anything would start to get askew, you have the master over your shoulder telling you how you need to adjust.
Right.
Like what you need to be looking at or giving you pointers. Whether he did it on purpose or not, that's just how these things operate, right?
Right.
And so Quinn gets hired because of his work with the Legion of Boom, and everybody was clamoring for him. We weren't the only ones clamoring for him.
Right.
Okay, so keep that in mind, right?
Right.
So Quinn comes here, and you saw what happened in 2015.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you jump out to that hot start at 0-5, and then everything falls apart. You go 8-8. We were so focused on Shanahan because we had always had a good offense, right? You know, with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, all that. We were so focused as a fan base on Shanahan that we didn't look at the fact that Quinn's defense was crap.
Yeah.
Like, absolute crap, right?
Yeah.
So now fast forward to 2016, the offense starts humming, starts clicking, starts absolutely pulverizing people, and Quinn's defense is still crap. Now, as the second half of that season in 2016, they started performing better because they got used to playing with a lead.
Yeah.
And when you play with a lead, you can become more aggressive, obviously. And
right.
that style of defense that Quinn coaches and Quinn can play is built for to be aggressive, is built to play with the lead, right?
Yeah.
So after 2016 rolls out, Shanahan leaves, heads out. Now it's on Quinn. It is fully, finally, 100% on Quinn
right.
to keep it going. Brings in Sarkisian, brings in Marco Emanuel, or elevates Marco Emanuel after firing Richard Smith.
Right.
You know, mid-season or whatever, demoting him and then firing him.
Right.
He installs Marco Emanuel, and Marco Emanuel is now what Dan Quinn was.
Right.
Marco Emanuel is running the system that Dan Quinn has put in place, a la Pete Carroll's system, and Dan Quinn's trying to be Pete Carroll.
Right.
2017, everything goes fine. We actually had a top 10 defense. Matter of fact, it was the first time in Ryan's career he had a top 10 defense.
Yep.
It just so happened that Sarkisian was still trying to figure it out.
Yep.
And our offense, you know, floundered.
Yep.
We couldn't beat top tier defenses. You know, we couldn't compete with top tier defenses. And the offense floundered. 2018 rolls around. And now this is where the first time I really start to look at Quinn as a coach, or as a, you know, his coaching style.
Yeah.
Because you had star players go down.
Yep.
Left, right, and center, right?
Yep.
Now is time where you have to make adjustments. They could not be made. Not by Quinn.
Right.
He didn't know how to make them. He didn't know how to instruct Marco Emanuel on how to make them.
Right.
And so at the end of 18, he used Marco Emanuel and Steve Sarkisian as scapegoats.
Yep.
Oh, it was totally their fault.
Yep.
That right there, I hate to say it, I tried not to let it like come out like during our shows and stuff like that, but that move right there is when I really lost my respect for Quinn in the sense of a coach.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people too.
Right, it was way too quick on, I'm blaming these guys. These guys were obviously the problem. Instead of standing up for those guys, because those are guys you handpicked.
Right.
They were both still young coordinators. I mean, that was part of your brand that you were bringing, that young energy, so to speak, that, you know, connecting with your players and all this other jazz. That was the brotherhood, you know?
Yeah.
And to cast those two guys aside as quickly as he did, I mean, obviously we don't know all the answers.
Right.
We don't know how much pressure was getting put on him from higher ups, what have you. None of that we'll never be privy to.
Right.
But fast forward, that's when you really started to see that Dan Quinn didn't know how to make adjustments.
Right.
Didn't know how to actually fix it. The analogy I use, it was one of the shows last year. Which, do you know what the difference between being a cook and being a chef is? A cook follows a recipe.
Right.
A chef creates the recipe.
Right, right.
Quinn's a cook.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Quinn's a cook. He's not a chef. Okay?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being a cook. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But just realize that when you're a cook, you're going to work at Applebee's, Waffle House, Cracker Barrel. You're not going to work at Ruth Chris.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to work at name whatever high-end restaurant. I don't go to high-end restaurants because I'm poor. But, name whatever high-end restaurant you want. That's where chefs go. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's where they work.
Yeah.
And 2018, at the end of 2018 and definitely in 2019, is when you saw, like, it was on display week in and week out that Quinn is a chef, not a cook.
Right.
I mean, a cook, not a chef.
Right. I agree, man. It totally makes sense if you look back and think about it, man, because nothing changed. Gave the same answers, still answers. We saw, we saw nothing different, man. And everything you said is, it makes sense. I mean, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it was flat out when me and Toby went to that that military appreciation practice that they had at the Benz, right?
Yeah.
In 2019. And me and him sat there and watched it. And we came away going, they ran that same formation over and over and over again on defense.
Yeah.
I never saw them run and try a different formation. I thought to myself, I was like, okay, well, he's just trying to get these guys ready for that.
Right.
Then that season started, 2019 started, and that's all we ran.
Yep.
Until Raheem Morris took over.
Yep.
And Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris took over in the second half. Then you started to see some, like, play diversity. Quinn's theory and philosophy was, if I make it simple, they'll be able to play fast.
Right.
And that's a decent philosophy, but you also have to try to confuse the offense.
Right.
If you don't confuse the offense, Marcus Mariota is going to look like Joe Montana.
And that's
like he did.
Yeah.
And I mean, how many games later did he get benched for Ryan Tannehill? Like one or two?
Two weeks later. I bring it up all the time. 2 weeks later, he was sitting on the bench, but he looked like the second coming of whoever.
Yeah. Insert
2 weeks before.
Name here.
Yeah.
Because he knew what was coming.
Yep.
We actually brought this up on our first reaction show, but we were kind of going in a different direction. Or at least I was, because I was hosting. But we were kind of going in the direction of, he tried to rebuild that Legion of Boom, but he just didn't have the talent. And that's what I thought. I thought he was really trying to rebuild that Legion of Boom, but he didn't have all those guys from Seattle.
The biggest thing that he didn't have, in my opinion, for that system, is he didn't have an Earl Thomas. Like, Ricardo Allen is a good safety. He's not an elite safety.
Right.
I like Ricardo Allen. I love his intelligence.
Right.
You know, but you add Ricardo Allen's intelligence with the range of Earl Thomas, and then you have Earl Thomas, right?
Right.
You know, and that's what Ricardo was lacking. The single high free safety look really is predicated on that safety being able to cover all over the field.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be able to diagnose the play and get there.
Yeah.
Right, I agree. And he didn't have a Cam Chancellor. He didn't have a
Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman. He didn't have anybody on those levels. And now we see how good those guys were, and they've all kind of moved on. But, you know, that was a talented team that he had, that he was working with. So, you know, you just can't come somewhere and just try to rebuild that with what you have. Those guys were talented, and that's why they were so, you know, they were so good. And, you know, I know Pete Carroll was you know, helping out and all that. I get all that stuff too, but the talent on the field was a big, you know, contributor.
A huge
part of it. And we didn't have that kind of talent here. So why he thought he could walk in the door and turn these guys into the next coming of, you know, Sherman and Chandler and everyone, I never bought into it to begin with.
Well, see, that's for me, that's the conundrum when you're looking at, you know, the next head coach, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what I'm diving into now on our channel, or on you know, on our show, is, you know, starting up a series of trying to highlight some different coaches. Mm-hmm. So I'm really thinking, like, okay, what if I was a GM, or if I'm Arthur Blank, what am I looking for? And I'm almost wary, because of the Dan Quinns and because of other coaches, I'm almost wary of getting a coach from a super successful team.
Right.
How many coaches have come from the Patriots that have actually done anything?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Still waiting.
Right. I mean, you might have like a glimmer of hope down in Miami with Flores. You know, he looks like he's starting to put together a competent team. Right?
Yeah.
The Giants are so desperate they hired the Patriots wide receiver coach.
Yeah, right. Well, he was wide receiver special teams, right? Then I mean, the coaching staff up in New England, they all have weird coaching titles or whatever. But I mean, Matt Patricia looks lost up in Detroit, which hopefully will help us this coming week.
Yeah.
But, you know, Patricia looks lost in Detroit. Bill O'Brien, you saw what he did down in Texas. The closest you might come to having a successful coach is Vrabel up in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he was actually on
staff. What's the one guy that went to Denver and didn't work out there? Was that McDonald?
That was McDaniels.
McDaniels, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I know right now everybody is clamoring for Eric Bieniemy up there in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I think he might end up being a very good coach. Obviously, only time is going to tell.
Right.
But it's not like Andy Reid's coaching tree has produced, you know, Doug Peterson. He won a Super Bowl. But Matt Nagy hasn't done much in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, as far as you know, his offense is concerned. I'm just worried about hiring a coach because of their offensive and or defensive accoutrement.
Right.
I want to hire a coach who can run a team.
Yeah.
I'm worried because I keep hearing the name Byron Leftwich come up.
Oh, God,
and
no.
I think,
God, no.
I've heard it multiple times.
No.
I'm like, stop.
No. Yeah, no. He's a guy that I plan on profiling. In my series,
I definitely want to watch that.
Right, but
yeah,
it's probably not going to be one of the more positive ones. You know, the one that's coming out tomorrow is actually on Arthur Smith, Titans offensive coordinator.
Okay,
and you know, one of the points I make there is like he's done a lot with not the greatest talent.
Right,
and you know that aspect intrigued me. So,
yeah.
So, what do you guys want to go with? Do you want to go with an offensive coach or a defensive coach?
Me myself, I would like to see an offensive coach, only because we've had two defensive coaches back to back now.
Right,
with Mike Smith and Dan Quinn. I would be interested to see what an offensive head coach, an offensive minded head coach, would do. Especially if in this day and age where these coaches are coming in and calling plays, you know, right. Like a Shanahan, like the guy, I'm not even going to try to butcher his name, up in Cleveland. You know, they're calling their own plays. So it'll be interesting to see that aspect, I would think.
Yeah. What do you think about but continuing with Raheem? I mean, I know you guys mentioned something about the comfort level with Matt.
Yeah,
while sorry, we still so have Matt.
Now, you know? Now you want my conspiracy theory, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Bring it.
My conspiracy theory revolves completely around Raheem Morris. Okay.
Okay.
So when I got to looking into it, right now, technically speaking, Rich McKay is your de facto president, GM, head man in charge, right?
Great.
He has one of the same titles that John Elway has out there in Denver. You know, so he is the mouthpiece for Arthur Blank. He yep. is a man in charge, right? So if this team, like, just shows improvement, consistency, I would gather, I think there's a real good chance that Raheem Morris stays on as the head coach, mainly because Rich McKay would then, in my opinion, keep power.
Mm-hmm.
Because Raheem Morris was on staff at Tampa Bay while Rich McKay, when Rich McKay was the GM down there, okay?
Right.
He was a low-level coach. He was a defensive backs coach at that point in time. But he's already used to Rich McKay being in charge. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's already been in his past, all right? Now you take into effect that you have a 35-year-old quarterback who's going to be – you know, who will be turning 36, regardless of what most people, the fan wise, want to say or think, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's his talents haven't been diminished as of yet. Right.
Right.
I mean, that was on display Sunday up in, you know, up in Minnesota.
Exactly.
Okay. So you add the fact that you have a quarterback that you have $75 million dead cap tied to at minimum. You have 2 to 3 years before you can contract-wise walk away from him without being a detriment to your team.
Right.
Like financials, right?
Yeah.
All this is saying that you can't find a trade partner.
Right.
I don't think you're going to get the compensation that you want. So unless you're just trying to move the money, I don't think you're going to find a trade partner.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you have Raheem Morris, who's been on staff for 6 years with the Atlanta Falcons, who is ultimately comfortable with Matt Ryan as a quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, the situation on offense with him and Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Then his comfort level with Rich McKay, I honestly think that if they show any kind of improvement at all for the rest of this season, I think that they would be more than willing to let Raheem just keep on rocking.
Right, right. I mean, it makes sense, you know?
I mean, it does to me.
And he's a black head coach, which, you know, there's a push to have more black head coaches in the league.
Of course.
So. Yeah.
Right. And look, I'll be the first one to say all the way around that I think there should be more. That you can't sit here and tell me that only white dudes are good at coaching. That's crap and that's stupid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So whatever the reasoning, I don't care what I don't get into politics or anything of that nature like that. But to tell me that you can't have, you know, more black head coaches is silly to me.
Yeah.
There's plenty of guys out there who are qualified to do this job regardless of what their skin color is.
Exactly.
So how about we give, you know, more guys a chance. And Raheem Morris's name was already being, you know, touted back and forth, not touted, but, you know, being bandied back and forth as being a potential head coach again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it only makes sense, especially, you know, dealing with our climate right now. And this guy has the experience. And if he can just continue winning, you know, I don't think we're going to win it out the rest of the season, but if he can have more wins than losses, I think he will be like a top run. Well, he should be.
I honestly believe that if you end this season 7-9, 8-8,
yeah,
then I think he keeps the head coaching job. That's my opinion.
But is that what you guys want to see? Knowing that he's already been a head coach, didn't have the most success, is that really what you want to see, or do you want to go in a different direction?
It's hard for me to, like, pin past failures in the NFL on just the head coach.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy in a situation right. such as.
Wait. Before you go any further, then.
Yeah.
Would you want to see Nick Saban come over and coach the Falcons then? No. With what you just said. Okay.
And there's a different ball game there. There's a whole different ball game. And the reason
But he's had a couple of shots at the NFL.
Right, he has. The reason why I wouldn't want Nick Saban has nothing to do with his track record in the NFL and has everything to do with the fact that most college coaches don't succeed because they do not have the level of control that they have in college over NFL. Over an NFL organization.
Exactly.
Okay. Wait. I just heard some. Pete Carroll said, what did you say?
Hey, Pete Carroll doesn't have. Look, Pete Carroll in that aspect is an outlier, but keep in mind, Pete Carroll was in the league, then went to college, then come back to the league.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like a straight transition from college to the league it generally isn't successful.
I agree. I thought the guy that came in and took over the Eagles
back when Michael
Vick was finishing up
Chip Kelly.
I thought Chip Kelly was going to have a lot of success, and yeah, I was wrong about that one.
What he couldn't, it goes to bad.
I could have told you that.
And it goes back to what JR just said. Talking to boys and talking to men are two different things.
Two different.
Right.
Especially when you're in total position of power.
Exactly.
Meaning, if you don't do what I say, I pull your scholarship and you go home.
Exactly.
You can't do that to a Matt Ryan who's making $75 million or who has a $75 million dead cap. Because if you tell him to go home, next thing you turn around, Arthur Blank's in your face going, excuse me?
Right.
That's my franchise there. That's who, you know, that's who people buy jerseys for. That's who I put on the marquee.
Right.
You know, you can't treat them the same way, and it takes a particular personality to be able to pull that off. Like, trying to find the next Belichick is a one in a million.
Yeah.
Like, he's the closest thing I've ever seen to a college-style coach in the pros, like, as far as the control that he has over the team.
Man, I know it's hard to find a Belichick, but, you know, I'm just hoping maybe, like, you know, like the guy up in Pittsburgh, somebody like that that's been around for a while, winning games, you know, winning more games every year than losing, something like that, like Tomlinson.
Oh, dude, yeah, I would love to have, you know, find the next Tomlinson. But where there's the next Tomlinson, there's also the next, you know, Marvin Lewis. Like, you get into the playoffs every year, and you lose in the playoffs every year. The first round of the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Like, Marvin Lewis, as great of a coach as he was, he never advanced in the playoffs.
That's true.
You know, there's going to be pros and cons regardless. No matter who we hire, it's going to take a perfect storm for it to, you know, to be right. I mean, in Philadelphia, they're already wanting to run out Peterson and Wentz.
Yeah.
And they ain't that far removed from a Super Bowl.
I know.
Right.
That's true. They're very fickle up there in Philly.
Well, man. That they are.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly. Now, like, flat out to clearly answer your question earlier, Q, I myself want an innovative, offensive-minded head coach. That's what I want. Because that's what I want to see from my Falcons is –
So who is that? Who is that? If you could just, you know, you got your wish list.
Right now, if you told me that everything's even keel, all these coaches are going to work out, I would take Bienemy just because what he's been able to do with Patrick Mahomes. The only thing that worries me about Bienemy is something that gets brought up quite a bit, but is the fact that he doesn't call plays. And everybody say, oh, why is that a big deal? He's still helping Andy Reid. Yeah, I got you. I understand he's still helping Andy Reid. But he's not the one having to make that decision.
Yeah, and think about Andy Reid, and I've been yelling this for years. I wish we could have Andy Reid. Andy Reid not only calls plays, he sits down on the weekends and he designs plays. Andy Reid comes up with his own plays. He, you know, designs them, puts them into the offense. And, you know, I've seen this guy on – you know, 3rd and 2, line up and throw a tight end screen for a touchdown. And it's kind of like, whoa, didn't see that coming. That's innovative, you know? Like, who would have thought that was going to happen?
Like, that's...
He's a chef.
Right, exactly. He is a chef. That's what I want, he's a chef.
He's a chief chef.
I mean, you And you can say what you want, right? But the reverse opposite, if you were to give me a defensive chef, I'll take it. I mean, how many times has, you know for almost a fact when you play the Patriots, you're going to have to beat them without your best player. Because he's going to absolutely take away your best option. Game in and game out. How many times, we've just seen him do it time and time again. And so I'll take a defensive-minded chef at this junction, but I would rather have an offensive-minded just because it's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, you know, that's that. Wow.
You're going to think twice about bringing me back on. Good Lord.
No, man.
I just start talking. I can't help it.
No.
We love it, J.R.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about things we didn't really, we rarely think about to that degree, man. And
that's something I've always tried to do. And it's the reason why I, started doing this to begin with is because I felt like a lot of times you got the same talking points out of everybody.
Right.
It's almost like they sent out a memo, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's just copying off each other, and I just got tired of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you start thinking about it yourself and thinking about it from, different angles. I don't by no means have anywhere close to any of the answers, much less all of them. But I just, try to look at it.
Let me ask you one more quick question.
Yeah, bud.
How far do you think we are from a total rebuild?
We're not far. Like, honestly, what's stopping a total rebuild right now? And then most people are going to cringe when I say it, is Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And I say this as I've said on our show, as I will say for a long time, I started watching football in 2008. Mm-hmm. Guess who was drafted in 2008?
Matt Ryan.
Okay. The total coincidence in that aspect, but he's the only quarterback that I have ever known to be part of my team, right?
Yeah.
I went back obviously in the archives and watched the Vicks and the Markowskis and the Redmonds and all these guys. I've watched it all, but as far as live and in my face, my quarterback's always been Matt Ryan. I will probably defend him until I'm in the grave. I will probably have to defend him until I'm in my grave. But if you wanted to ask me what's stopping from throwing this baby out with the bathwater, it's Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, as a team, as an organization, you don't know, you're not guaranteed to have another franchise quarterback next time up.
Right.
You're just not.
Right.
And people.
Right. Exactly.
Right. People want.
And I was just going to say, it's funny that you mentioned that because I see the Dolphins have decided already now they're going to start Tua from here on out. Although, Fitzpatrick was winning games.
He ain't been playing bad.
They ain't been playing bad at all, so I was a little bit surprised by the announcement yesterday. And, considering it's been less than a year ago that he had that, really bad hip injury, I was surprised by the Dolphins making that move. But anyways, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No. All I was going to say, but that emphasizes the point of what I was saying. When you have a franchise quarterback, you don't walk away from a franchise quarterback.
Right.
You just don't.
Right.
And you ride that. Look at what's going on with the Patriots right now. As much praise as I give the Patriots, there's still even uncertainty, and they have Cam Newton at the helm.
Yep.
There's this uncertainty for the first time in 20 years almost up there. That's because they don't have a franchise quarterback. When you don't have one, you cannot be considered a contender.
Right.
Do you consider the Jacksonville Jaguars a contender with Gardner Minshew?
No.
With the mustache down there?
Just saw the name alone. Minshew. Right.
But on the flip side of that.
Wait a minute. What's their record right now?
One game maybe? One or two? I don't know off the top of my head.
They're a one-win team like us.
Right. But on the flip side of that, even though the wins aren't there, the future's looking bright for the Chargers with Justin Herbert. Because early on, he's looking like a franchise quarterback. So that, to me, that's what's stopping from a total rebuild. Now, come November 3rd, trade deadline, if something squirrely happens and they, for whatever reason, find a trade partner and you get Matt Ryan's money off the books, as much as it would pain me, that's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it pains
me. See, I wouldn't want to move Matt. Yeah, I wouldn't want to move Matt, though. I would think, see what you could get for Julio out there. I mean, what has Julio done for us? He's done a lot for us, but...
Oh, sure.
But look at games played versus games missed because of the toe, because of the hamstring, because of this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But people love Julio. I think, you know, you might could get something for Julio.
Yeah, I mean, if at this junction, I know Rich McKay came out and said, like, flat out made the comment that they weren't going to have a fire sale. You know, that they weren't going to be starting to trade vets. But right. If somebody calls me and says, hey, I'll give you a second and a third for Julio Jones and take his money. Yeah. I mean, you got Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Russell Gage ain't a bad two.
I know, but I'm... Go ahead, Aries.
I'm still on the fence about Calvin. I think Calvin is as good as he is. It's because Julio's on the field. Now, when you take Julio off the field, is Calvin good enough to hold his own? That's my concern.
You're going.
How did he do over the weekend? I don't know. How did he do? Not this past game, but
he the did game pretty before.
Good. Yeah. The game before, yeah.
Yeah, he did okay. But you had you finally had a run game. That game didn't help you beat the Panthers, but that's one of the times where, you know, Matt Ryan cost you that game.
Yeah.
You know, I can admit that, you know, he cost you that game. You know, you probably could have won that had he made some better reads.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, you'll find out real quick.
Yeah.
But I think the threat of, you know, not Julio Jones, but Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst, Russell Gage. And I mean, that to me, that's your mainstays next year,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like that could be a solid 1-2-3.
Yeah,
Hayden is like I said, is playing at an all-star level right now. I mean, it's just crazy.
And it's only going to get better the more comfortable Matt Ryan gets with him.
Yeah, I wish they get him involved more. You know,
well, that's Cutter right there.
Yeah,
like my biggest knock with Cutter. And I'm sure you guys have heard me say it, but my biggest knock with Cutter is Cutter loves his elite talent.
Oh, yeah.
And so as long as Julio Jones is on the field, as long as Calvin Ridley's on the field, and as long as Todd Gurley's on the field, Hayden Hurst, there ain't much left over for him.
Reminds me of somebody else we used to have. As an OC. Shall we say Shanahan? Shanahan?
Oh.
You remember what happened, the whole Roddy White thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, Shanahan,
Roddy was disgruntled anyways, though. Roddy's Roddy.
Well, I was going to say, the problem I had with Shanahan was his ego.
Yeah.
You know, Shanahan was the smartest man in the room, even though offensively
he was. We saw that in the Super Bowl, right?
Right. Look, I'm not going to say here, but I mean, obviously, Shanahan is a really good offensive coordinator.
He
calls really good games.
Yeah.
He has really good play design.
Yeah.
But you have to also be able to, you know, set your ego aside at times.
Right.
Like, you know, perfect example, obviously the Super Bowl, like run the ball, right? But you go back to the Chicago game with Dirk Cutter. In that fourth quarter, he took less than 2 minutes off the clock in the entire fourth quarter.
Yep. Exactly what I was saying.
Like, what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
That's not the time to be, you know, slinging it all over the place.
Yeah,
that's the time to be running the ball. Run the clock off.
Yep.
So.
Yep. We've all.
Yep. Grind it out. Yep. We all brought that up.
Right. Exactly. It's maddening. So if I will predicate this, I will put my Raheem Morris stamp of approval as long as he gets rid of Dirt Cutter.
Here, sir. Cutter should be gone. This should be his last season as the Falcons OC.
And that's why I worry about his last stint here. But usually when a new coach comes in, they bring in new staff. I'm worried that he's going to keep some of the old staff because of comfort level working with them already. That's what worries me about keeping a coach that's already on his staff.
But the thing is, the way I see it is, if he stays as head coach, you want to put your name on the team and you don't want to keep anybody who's carried over. You know what I mean? So,
as
far as making the team your own and getting rid of the OC should be his biggest priority.
Yeah.
To say, hey, this is my team. This is what I'm doing. Not I'm just trying to keep what Dan Quinn did.
Right. And the same also could be said about players too.
Right.
So.
Well, you're already kind of seeing that a little bit. I mean, you saw. Now, granted, it has probably the a bit to do with Tack being injured, but you've seen Charles Harris play more. You've seen Deidre Snod actually getting some snaps. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I think he was out on the injury report as resting or something. So I don't know. It'd be something interesting to keep an eye on going forward. But
right.
But yeah, I mean, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make whoever comes in here, because this defense, regardless if you want to or not, is going to have to be rebuilt.
Yep.
Just because the amount of expiring contracts you have.
Yeah, that is true, man. That is true. So,
do you think it's going to be hard to get an OC in here, considering Raheem Morris? I know he's coached before, but is he going to be able to draw in a big name OC, or how are we going to go about getting a good OC?
Well, I mean, this, you're talking about one of 32 jobs. That's really all you have to say. Do you want to do one of only 32 jobs in the world? At this level, anybody who is wanting to be an OC isn't going to turn that down, especially if you have the opportunity to start your OC career, or however you want to say it,
right,
with a MVP caliber quarterback.
Yeah.
So my only concern would be, like, say somebody like an Adam Gase gets fired. Like,
oh God.
Right. You immediately, like, that dread immediately came over you. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's my fear, right? You get rid of a Dirk Cutter, and then Raheem Morris brings in, like, somebody who is just as equally maddening.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be scary, fellas.
Don't scare me like that. Oh, I'm my sorry. God.
Look, I know we're getting close to Halloween.
I'm sorry now.
Give you a little bit of a...
But no, I mean, that kind of was the question I was asking, though, like...
Yeah.
Let's see here.
That's a good possibility.
I mean, he's got to vent every prospect and look, really see if this is the... I mean, are you bringing a guy like Gase? Oh, God. I shudder to think... But to see what he's done in the amount of time where he's been, it's just, it's a no-brainer. It's a no from me. I'm sorry. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Right. Now, I just quickly pulled up Raheem Morris's days in Tampa to see who his OC was. Mm-hmm. And his 2 years, well, he's there for 3 years. And the second 2 years, or all the whole time, Greg Olsen was his OC. I don't know if y'all remember. Like, Greg Olsen was very uninspiring. His last stint.
I remember Greg Olsen.
Oh, hey.
Greg Olsen. Was he in Carolina?
You're not talking about the player, are you?
No, I'm not talking about the player. No.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Because it seems like right now, according to Pro Football Reference,
he hasn't had a job since then.
No, he's the OC at for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, for Chucky, what?
Yeah. So.
Okay, now you're talking though a little bit.
But anyway, so if you're wanting to see what kind of style Raheem Morris, at least at his time as a head coach, his preference was somebody along the lines of a Greg Olsen. So.
Who's the defensive coordinator?
Well, see, the defensive coordinator with Raheem Morris was his third year in 2011 was Keith Millard, whoever that is. Don't know that name. But there's 1 year he was listed as the defensive coordinator as well. Raheem Morris was. Yes, his first year. He was defensive coordinator with Jim Bates, and Raheem Morris is listed as a defensive coordinator. So he's not above being more in control. So
okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what Quinn got it from, huh?
Wow.
Possibly.
Well, wow, man. JR, you just dropped a whole bunch of stuff on us, man, that, you know, some good some good information, some food for thought.
Well, then at that junction, I did my job, right? That's why we do this.
Exactly.
Any more conspiracy theories? Any more conspiracy theories you haven't thought of? You didn't mention.
Well, my only other like conspiracy theory, I guess, in that aspect is that I still hold true to. I think Raheem Morris is going to be here for a couple more years.
Yeah.
You know, that's I know everybody wants Matt Ryan gone for whatever reason, but no, he's going to be here for until he doesn't want to be here.
Right. Right.
I don't want Matt gone. I don't want to see anybody on the offense gone. I think the offense will be all right. I want to see somebody come in and just do something crazy at defense. Maybe it's signing some free agents, you know, even if they're just short-term people, you know, guys that have been around for a while, but just do something with the defense. We've seen what the offense can do, and we know the offense can score under many different coordinators, but what we've seen consistently is the defense has struggled the same amount of years under defensive coordinators. I just want to see somebody that can come in here and do something with this defense. And I know we're not the most talented defense, but, you know, you can get creative. You might just get to a point where we become a shootout team, you know, like now, USC.
We're not the most talented defense, but we're not one of the teams who has the least amount of talent on it either, though.
Yeah, but we don't have discipline. We get a lot of penalties. There's just simple stuff like that that I think a good defense coordinator could just clean up. Imagine how many more games we could have won without all the penalties we've seen, especially the pass interference penalties. I mean, yeah, we give up a lot of yards.
Blame that on Oliver and Alford.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know,
if I don't see
the players got to say it starts with coaching.
Yeah, no. If I don't see the Isaiah Oliver suit up again, I wouldn't be sad at all.
Right, because I mean it's crazy on how much hope and high ceiling this kid had, and he comes out and falls flat on the floor.
Yeah,
like
is anybody all that worried about the offense though, or does everybody think the offense is going to be okay?
Offense is going to be all right as long as you got Matt, Julio, and Gurley right now. The offense is going to be
Ridley.
Ridley. You know, all the offensive weapons. As long as we keep those intact, they stay healthy, the offense is going to be fine. It's just getting the defense of players that can make impacts and actually change the course of a game.
Right.
Now, what was that? 2 weeks ago, the linebacker who had those 3-4 fumbles.
Foye Luikon.
That's the one that came out of Duke, right?
No, he came out of Yale.
Yale. One of those Ivy League schools. Exactly. I watched his tape when he came out of college, and I'm like, this kid is going to be good. Yeah. Even then on tape, I seen he was a whole lot better than the other dude we got out of LSU, the one who he
changed to the
Eagles.
Duke Riley?
Yeah, Duke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Duke Riley. I knew right then. I'm like, this kid is better than Duke. He's way better than Duke.
Yeah.
So I'm just the defensive players are there. They're in place. They just have to come into their own.
I believe so. The one thing I worry about is can we get a consistent pass rush?
Can we get that right? That's been one of our biggest issues.
We've been waiting for that for years. Man, a long time.
We haven't had anything. Yeah.
Okay. My question with the two defensive tackles that we have, Dedrick Sanat and the kid we just drafted, Davidson.
Marlon Davidson.
Who moves to defensive end? Because Grady Jarrett ain't going nowhere. So
I think if you're moving anybody to defensive end, you're moving Marlon Davidson. I mean, that's what put him in the second round stratosphere, was playing defensive end at Auburn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Dan Quinn's like love affair of drafting people and then moving them, moving their position, it has always been like kind of a head scratcher to me. Mm-hmm. And Marlon Davidson, the reason why you drafted him, the reason why he was successful, is because he was playing defensive end. Right. He was a huge man who had power and could move.
Right.
And so, you know, that is something that I hope maybe they start putting him back there between him and John Kaminsky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are guys that I would be interested in seeing switch to full-time defensive end.
I agree. Has there been anybody over the past couple of years we missed in the draft because we took an offensive lineman, or we took, you know, something on offense where we should have focused on defense and we could have got somebody, but we let them go and they went to another team? But I just feel like there was a couple of guys, I can't think of the names right now, but I just feel like there was some people we let fly by us that we could have grabbed.
Oh, that happens every defense. Year.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I get that, but...
I mean, when you look at it, we passed on some names. Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm saying? We passed on Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, it's there's players that's going to be in the draft that you know, teams aren't going to need, but come out to be big stars.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here.
No, I was just trying to think of anybody that we could have picked up. But I remember, you know, we took some linemen and we did some stuff like that, but I just felt like we should have been working more on the defense than the offense. You can design plays to get the ball quick out of your hands, but you can't really design a pass rush. Either you have a pass rush or you don't.
Like, defensive player wise, maybe the year that we drafted Calvin Ridley, 2018, you could have picked up Terrell Edmonds, mm-hmm. who's been a good safety out there at Pitt. Trying to think, I don't really mean, as far as first round goes, I don't really see anybody else's name who really jumps out as even making impact. Like, you know, everybody, like Bradley Chubb hasn't really even developed really all that, and neither has Vita Vea or Deron Payne or Marcus Davenport.
Right.
I mean, these were all,
right.
you know, those big are all names, big
college names.
Yeah. That people were like salivating over. I remember doing like focus pieces on a lot of these guys, and you know, they haven't necessarily blossomed into, you know, first round talent, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, even for the dog fans, Roquan Smith hasn't been very consistent, you know, so
I've been watching him. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see, like, we'll go back the previous year to 2017 when we picked up Tack McKinley, right?
Right.
This will probably be one that everybody's like, oh, come on, you know. This guy, the only name that I wish we would have picked up and I was really clamoring for, and that was TJ Watt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted Watt.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I would have much rather had TJ Watt than Tack McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of his versatility.
Right.
And even... granted, it has not panned out at all, but Reuben Foster, the linebacker out of Alabama, like, talent-wise...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wanted him.
Is he still playing?
I think he's on, like, suspension or whatever for...
Oh.
Or he tore a ACL. I don't know. Either way, he's not playing this season.
Right.
For one reason or another, but... like, but even in this draft, I mean, Solomon Thomas was supposed to be like a lock, like guaranteed lock.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done much. Like, he hasn't been much of a force for San Francisco.
Right.
Same thing with Jonathan Allen. You know, he was supposed to be, you know, another guy, another defensive end wrecker, you know? Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could do that all day long.
Well, that's good news, then.
2 hours.
That's good news.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, but like I said, they're rookies, so, you know, you're not going to expect a whole lot the first season, you know, that they're picked. Although I mentioned earlier that A.J. Terrell's impressing me every week, so...
He's looking solid.
Yeah.
Like, I know people were, you know, dogging that pick initially,
yeah,
but he's looking like a solid, you know, draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion. I don't
want to
one more quick question here. One more quick question. Do you take a quarterback in the draft this year?
No.
No?
Did I say that too quick?
No, not at all.
Ask me that question again. I'll try to give you a slower answer. No, you don't. I mean, look, the only way I'm taking a quarterback, like I said, that's what I stated earlier. Only way I'm taking a quarterback is if during this season you found me a trade partner and who, for whatever reason, you decided to trade Matt Ryan.
Right.
But franchise quarterbacks.
Maybe it was time to start grooming someone. Maybe Justin Fields from Ohio State. Maybe somebody like that.
God.
When was the last time? Let me ask you this. Everybody brings this up, right?
Right.
But I'm going to ask you, when was the last time a groomed quarterback has worked out? Because I know the answer. So.
Pat Mahomes.
Not really groomed. He only sat for about a half a year.
Yeah.
Like the grooming that you're talking about is 2 or 3 years.
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Tom Brady.
Okay. Yeah. How many quarterbacks?
Nick Foles. Yeah.
No, Nick Foles. You can't tell me Nick Foles has worked out. How many teams has he been on?
Six. Nick,
right.
Nick is a good quarterback.
He's a decent quarterback that the longer he stays in there, the worse he looks.
He's a journeyman.
Right.
Plain and simple.
He's Ryan Fitzpatrick with a Super Bowl ring.
Right.
I mean, Trent Dilfer's got a Super Bowl ring, so you
can't tell me Joey Flacco has a Super Bowl ring.
Right? You can't tell me that that's the only qualifier, right? Because if he was so good,
Flacco was taken in 2008.
Oh yeah, he was taken with Ryan.
And
yeah,
Flacco is no longer in the league. So yeah,
Flacco's in the league.
Yeah, he's on the Broncos.
Yeah,
he's on the Broncos. Yeah, he's starting.
Oh yeah, only because Drew Locke is still battling back from an injury.
Yeah.
So, yes, no. To answer your question, I am not taking a quarterback, not with the amount of defensive holes we have.
Exactly.
Not going to happen. Not with the strapped cap situation that we have. I'm not tying up $20+ million to sit on my bench for a couple years.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. Our quarterback, our future quarterback, is probably in college still, a freshman.
Yeah, he's a freshman at the earliest, probably. Like
he's a senior in high school. Stop.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you really want to look, start keeping your eye on the Manning kid who I keep seeing splashed on my screen at ESPN is in love with. Like keep your eye on that guy.
All right.
Like that might be your next, Falcons quarterback.
Yeah, man. Wow. Wow. Good stuff, fellas. Good stuff. And we're like... Yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah. We've gone over an hour, but it's all good. But with JR, man, I really want to thank you for coming on, man, and giving us your point of view. Like I said, I really, I always liked you guys' podcast. You guys really tell it like it is, and you come up with some very interesting takes that I don't even think about. Sometimes we don't even think about. And when I'm like, wow, I got to bring JR on, man.
I appreciate the invite as always. I always enjoy talking to you fellas. I enjoy the podcasting format. Didn't necessarily work out so well on our end. We have found more success on the YouTube side, but
I see that.
I've always enjoyed the podcasting format, so I appreciate the opportunity to come on and chat with you fellas.
No problem, man.
How does that work on the YouTube side?
I like it.
Yeah, what are y'all doing differently from podcasting to YouTube?
I will say the biggest difference and one reason why I wouldn't really give it up is the interaction that you get by doing like live streams.
Yeah.
Like I thoroughly enjoy having our chat room up and, being able to, interact with, your listeners. Like they're able to hit you with questions and, you're able to answer them right then. You're able to there've been plenty of times where if it wasn't for the chat room, we wouldn't have much of a show.
Right.
Right. So I highly suggest.
How soon do you do it after the game?
We do our show every Tuesday. Now, there's a couple guys who come on right after the game, and I think they're smart to do that, but I like to be able to not react just off of emotion.
Right, exactly.
Because if you had me coming on after a game,
you get some really good shows.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you do. I try to be a little more collected with my thoughts.
Exactly. And there's a lot of competition already with people doing that, the instant reactions. Yeah.
Exactly. So we come on Tuesdays. The newer guys that we brought on before Toby went off to do, you know, his own, different direction on his side. Jimmy and Mike, they've done a real good job of, just meshing real well. And yeah, so I've enjoyed being able to do the live streams are probably the biggest thing, that instant reaction. Like, we've been talking for an hour, right?
Right.
And now you imagine that with 100-something other people.
Right.
it's just a lot of fun, to do these live streams.
Yeah, we're trying to work our way that way. I've started putting these shows on YouTube as well. And we've also started doing like real short immediate reaction shows after the game just to see what, like Q wants to do an immediate thing.
30 minutes right after the game.
It's been working out pretty decently for us, I think. We're not hitting the numbers you guys are hitting, but I do see the difference, though. So we'll do that, and then we'll do this show where we can plan it out and have more of a show. So
right, I think the biggest difference with the with the live stream stuff is, you have your face on camera,
right? Exactly,
and you're having to be more cognizant of, like, what's surrounding you or what's behind you, and things of that nature. You got to make sure you have good visual quality and audio quality. But if you get that stuff down, man, it is super fun. I enjoy the crap out of the technical side. I wish I had somebody who would run the technical side to where I could just sit there and talk.
Exactly.
What I've been able to do here talking with y'all, I'm pulling up information as we're talking, and I can't do that in fear that my computer is just going to lock up.
Exactly, man. It's a lot you have to think about when you're behind the scenes and you're trying to be a host. So.
Yep. But hey, we do it for fun. We do it for, our own entertainment. And, so none of us are professionals. Right. So if it goes off the rails, it goes off the rails, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fun. We've met interesting people over the years. We actually met Aries that way, and Aries is a huge part of this show now.
Yeah,
right.
And,
I mean, that's how Pound for Pound started.
Yep.
I was doing, my own stuff under a different name, and, Toby run across my videos, and he sent me a message. Next thing you know, we have Pound for Pound, and we added two more guys who were starting up their own small YouTube stuff, and we approached them about joining us, and so it's a great way to meet people. Heck, I met y'all guys.
Exactly.
Same here. And who are you with now?
We're still a Pound for Pound.
I'm saying who are you with now?
The guys that are on your show.
Sorry. Didn't understand. Jimmy and Mike. I don't know if y'all have caught Jimmy's intro. He says, "You can call me anything you want, but don't call me no damn Saints fan."
Yeah, he cracks me up with that, man.
That's funny.
Was it Jimmy Obama?
Jimmy Obama. He brings a different kind of energy that I really enjoy, and Mike brings that like almost preacher vibe.
Yep.
That I like. I enjoy, chatting with those guys.
They're not in ATL, right?
Mike is, but Jimmy's out in Denver, I believe, or somewhere in Colorado.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're out. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Absolute tons of fun. I think I hear my 3-year-old getting fussy, so I may have to jump off here with you gentlemen.
Well, thanks, JR, and everybody definitely check out the Pound for Pound podcast. You can hear all this great stuff that JR is talking about on a weekly basis.
That's right.
If you're a Falcons fan, it's a must watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
One more thing before you go, JR. Who you got this weekend?
Falcons, I mean, I got Detroit. The Falcons. Okay. On, I got the Falcons. Got to.
Just waiting on that matchup with Julio and and Drew Pond. Oh,
that'd be great. See Desmond. Oh.
So why Desmond get burnt again? And this time it's not in practice. Oh, it's gonna be great.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
All right, JR.
That's who I got.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man. I'll let you know when this is up.
All right, man. Y'all take care, guys.
All right, later.
All right. You too, man. Thanks a lot.
Well, cool, fellas.
That was awesome.
Yeah, man.
I like that guy, man. Yeah, he's good. Man.
I like JR.
Yeah.
I do.
JR, since we've had them on, it's been in like a year when we first met them. I see the progression that they've done, especially with JR, man. And him and Toby. But yeah, they're like my regular guys that I check out. Just, I'm not on the Falcons content creators as well, so I like all those guys, but I definitely appreciate those guys, and they always give us love on Twitter and retweet our shows out, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I gotta go check out his partner show now that he left, and I guess what's Toby? He doing spiritual football or what is he doing? I still didn't really understand it.
I think he's doing more faith-based stuff. He's incorporating faith more, but he still is keeping it wrapped around football as well, so it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
All right,
Phil can't have us on that show,
right? I don't know. He did pretty good when he was on our show, even with you on our show. But all right, fellas, real quick, let's forget around the league. Nothing too interesting happened. But prediction, Q. What's your prediction for the Lions game this Sunday?
I think we can throw the ball against them. I think, who DeAndre Swift is from Georgia.
Yup.
He had a game last week. He's a running back from Georgia. He had his breakout game last week and the week before that. He had two games in a row. He's gone for over 100 and two scores. So,
nice.
We can slow him down. I'm going to take the Falcons. I feel good. I'll take the Falcons. Take them by a touchdown.
2 weeks in a row? Q picks the Falcons? Write this down.
Yeah, man.
Hey, why are you making jokes? You know I'm 100% on my record right now. I predict us to start 1-5. I'm 100% right now. So No.
You thought we were going to beat Carolina.
Yeah, you did. You did, because remember Maurice and Angela called you out last weekend.
Oh, yeah. You thought you were going to beat Carolina.
Well, I got one loss on the season then.
That's still pretty good.
I'm at 90%.
What about you, Aries? I'm sure you're rolling with the birds.
I'm going with the birds, man. I think it's going to be a close one. It's going to be a nail biter again.
Right.
It's one of those. There's a moment where you hold your breath until the end of the game. So, but I'm saying we take it.
Same here, man. Same here. I think the new energy is really taking effect. I think what Raheem is doing, getting into those guys' faces and holding people accountable, which is something they're not used to. So I think that they're going to really respect that and play hard. And I think we can definitely win this, especially if Trufant plays and they match him up with Julio. So
or
Ridley
or
Gage so alright fellas, alright, that's cool. We'll go ahead and start wrapping this up. We'll see, but I want to thank everybody for checking us out at the What's Up Fox podcast. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter and send us some text messages. We'll read it on the show at 770-268-0555. And by the way, I'm still working on that swag shop, so we're going to have some new gear. We're going to even have some new masks, man, so you can walk around being COVID free with our logo on it. So I know y'all gonna want that. I know Aries already wants that.
Man, I need one of those.
It's coming soon, brother. Very soon. Hopefully by the next time we talk, it'll be available.
All right, cool.
All right, guys. Well, that is it. Don't forget to check.
Yeah, one last quick thing.
Go ahead.
I was on TMZ today, and I saw our longtime guest, The Cause. Picture from prison. He had his mask off and he was smiling. He was happy. His hair was looking a little disoriented and his eyes were looking crazy, but he was smiling and he was happy. And he's up for parole soon, so the cause will be back.
I can't wait for that because I don't know what you saw, but I saw like a hobo. I don't know, what was that character he did? Fat Albert Mudfoot Mudbone Mud something, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
He looked like one of his characters coming to life.
He looked a little crazy, but you know, he still got that money. When he gets out, he'll get a haircut and, you know, get some LASIK and he'll be rocking again.
All right, well maybe we'll
he'll be raping in no time, baby.
I'm so done.
Yeah. All right, fellas, if that is all, I will catch y'all next week.
All right. Peace.
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 Check out the What's Up Falcons podcast exclusively at armchairallamericans.com. Subscribe to the What's Up Falcons podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to the What's Up Falcons podcast at whatsupfalcons.com.